Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Glad that you folks could join us. I just want to say, now I'm going to go off on a rant even before I introduce ourselves. Today is tax day.
The day that we're recording is tax day.
The day that we're recording is tax day. And I'm going to ask anybody in the state of North Carolina, did you get a refund back yet?
Nope.
Now, we filed February 16th. They said, paper-wise, that February 2nd, they will start to send out checks or whatever else. March 2nd, they will start to send out checks. That now says March 9th. If you go out and you check, we are at level 3 of 7 levels. So we're being examined. We have no idea where our money is. Does this state treasury or Department of Revenue have any customer service that's worth a darn?
I don't know, but I'll tell you, we had to file
taxes. That's a trick question.
In two states, and we got our Ohio state refund back in about 4 days.
It was a refund of money I sent them. I oversent them money, but we got some back from them.
I think if they take more than 30 days, we should be able to charge them interest.
Well, they do say that they will pay you interest. I don't know what the interest is, but they use the date of you file, the date that you that they approve it, or the date that some other date, the tax date or something like that. It's something like 90 days after that they will start to give you interest after the latest of all of these possible dates.
But to Kim's point, we got our stuff from Ohio
in like 4 days.
It was electronic, but we got it in our checkbook, North Carolina.
And we filed electronically. So what is the mystique of not having...
It was not a complicated tax reform.
No.
Mine wasn't either. I have that Bailey settlement for the military retirement, so I pay no taxes, I get no refund.
So did you get no refund on time?
Yes. I got it immediately. The day I filed. Yeah.
See? Yeah. There you go.
Now that we've beat that to death.
Are we on the air?
Yes.
We're on the air.
Introduce us.
Okay. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
I just had to get that off my chest.
Hey, I'm glad you did.
Okay, You're feeling better now, Bob?
No, I don't.
He wants his money.
They should be able to do that within, I would give them a grace period of maybe 6 weeks. And anything after 6 weeks, we ought to be able to charge them exorbitant interest.
But the irony is, you can't be late if you owe them, but they can take as long as they want for a refund.
Yeah,
welcome
exactly.
to the federal government. We found that out in the Air Force. When the federal government wants their money, they take it immediately. When they owe you money, mm-hmm. you could just wait for it.
You just
right, Bob?
Is that where
the saying "the checks in the mail" came from?
Only it never was.
Yeah, it never was. That's right.
What they really mean is just go check your mail. That's what they really
there
mean.
There you go.
Check
okay.
your mail. I just want to just comment on the tax stuff before we leave it. According to commentators who have talked about the big, beautiful bill and so on with the tax savings, I think they estimate like the average taxpayer is going to pay 11%. Is it like something like 10 or 11% less in their taxes for 2025? Anyway, is that correct?
Something like that.
That's pretty good. So that's, you know, the reason I bring it up is a lot of times there's you hear so much stuff, anti-Trump stuff, that he rarely if ever gets credit for the things that he accomplishes. And that is not right. There should be an accounting what he's done right. I mean, if you have questions about what he's done wrong, that's your privilege, but.
Well, Tom Friedman at the New York Times says he'd like Iran to lose, but not if Trump gets credit for it.
Yeah, I heard that.
Not if Trump gets credit for all.
I mean, that's insane. What happened to patriotism?
Exactly.
But I want to hear Fannie Willis's update before.
My Fannie Willis update. Yes, there was an article interviewing a Georgia state senator, a Republican, who says he wants to ask Fannie Willis questions about the $2 million sole source grant that they got from DOJ. They were the only ones invited to apply. It was sole source, so nobody else could be considered. And it's how they funded the investigation against Trump.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
See, he wants to ask questions about that.
Nothing to see here, folks.
That's right. Nothing to see.
Well, wasn't there also an expose this week about the original attempt to impeach Trump based on that false information?
Yeah,
it was that was made up, and they found out it was actually came out of the Hillary Clinton's campaign.
Tulsi Gabbard released all those emails.
Yeah, and it's been exposed, and
once again.
But again, you don't see that in the media.
The problem with that, because the Conservative Treehouse did a really good article about that. Evidently, the original hearing, the 2019 deposition, and
of whom?
This was the This was the original hearing that was not part of the impeachment inquiry. It was just to clarify questions from Republicans, and the hearing was not classified. It was a closed door hearing, but it was not classified. And this was about Eric Chiaramella, who was also the guy that falsified the FISA report on George Papadopoulos. He falsified a FISA report on somebody that was an agent for the CIA and claimed they weren't. So it's all ugly there. But the thing that was interesting about this, that hearing, evidently John Ratcliffe was in that hearing, and they could have released the information from that hearing, but they chose not to.
Duh.
And there was evidence there that things were not what they should have been in terms of the whistleblower and everything else. And the question was, this was all setting up President Trump.
Of course.
Ratcliffe had the information. The information was not classified, and he chose not to release it.
May I ask, who was in charge of that hearing?
Adam Schiff.
Well, this was the first impeachment.
Second impeachment.
The second
impeachment. The one right after he got out of office.
Okay. Well, I was referring to in the first impeachment and the judiciary and some of the information that they had in advance in the first impeachment, and the fact that the now allegedly Eric Swalwell criminal things, he was on the judiciary and very involved on that committee during the Trump impeachment. So I'm just aligning that with the weaponization and the fact that all of these things are tied together. And that there was corruption way, way back in trying to get Trump in his first term.
Yeah, there was lawfare. It started off, Comey admitted going after General Flynn.
It started the minute Trump came down the golden elevator.
That's true.
I mean, in my experience, John Ratcliffe has been a pretty straight-up supporting guy, so I'd like to know the backstory behind why he wouldn't have, because he's been free with sharing information, so why would he withhold this, or why wouldn't he get it out in front?
That's the question. I don't have the answer to that.
But that's not his style. That's not what we
That's not what we know about him. I know. I don't know why that worked out that way.
Well, you can always look back at, did he not release information because he was threatened, or was it his choice? I mean, there always seems to be more to the story.
Yeah.
You know, the Paul Harvey, where's the rest of the story? You know, we have all heard our conspiracies with Supreme Court justices and positions they have taken, and wondered why John Roberts specifically. You know, people have said for years that there's something in his background that other people hold over him, and that's why he votes certain ways, especially during the Obamacare fight. Remember all that?
Yes.
So I just think that there's a I think the deep state is a lot bigger than any of us realize. And I think if we realized how deep it was, we would be afraid to go out the front door.
The other explanation on that is Roberts may have been more left than anybody believed. Yeah. And he's voting his heart. And we just thought he was something different.
We do realize that the deep state is not party specific.
Right.
Correct.
No, it's not.
But this does all point to the intention that the Democrats have. If they win the House of Representatives, first thing they're going to do is start more impeachment proceedings against Trump. They'll come up with something.
Oh, they've already said that.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Well, people have to realize what's at issue here. It's no longer let's judge somebody on what they do. The party, the opposing party, it just comes out against the person because they're against them. And it's the same thing like with this war. There's so many of the Democrats that come out and they're trying to stop him. And what is it? The power
War Powers
war,
Resolution.
Warfare.
War Powers Act.
War Powers Act, trying to use that against them. And all they're doing is making it, they're actually siding with our enemy.
Yes.
And they would be happy if Iran won, so Trump can get a black eye from it.
And they introduced impeachment against Pete Hegseth this morning.
Well, did they? Well, now, Jamie Raskin is putting out a bill to, what is it he wants to do? Oh, to create a body that can consider whether or not the president should be removed under the 25th Amendment.
Yes.
Now, Mary, on this impeachment on Hegseth, who introduced that impeachment?
It's an Arizona rep who is an Iranian woman who wouldn't even be allowed in her government in her own thing. Now, Glenn, you had something?
Well, while we're talking about Supreme Court justices, is it Alito? Is that how you pronounce it?
Alito.
I mean, he's potentially going to be removed. He may retire and need to be replaced. So that's going to be interesting to see how that happens. But I know it was challenging to get people through last time, and some of them weren't what they didn't turn out to be what we had hoped on conservative values. But it looks like Trump may get another shot at Supreme Court.
I hope he puts Ted Cruz on there.
That would be fantastic.
Mike Lee, that would be good.
That would be good, too.
You were asking about the charges on Hegseth, and they're saying that he's betrayed his trust, violated international law, abused his office. And they're saying that he misused personal devices for war planning and initiating strikes that resulted in high civilian casualties. The Pentagon has termed the effort a charade and a political distraction. So they are going after him. The resolution is a House Resolution 935, and it says that he betrayed the trust, violated international law, and abused his office. High crimes and misdemeanors.
How many citizens does Iran killed? And we're talking about not ours, but their own.
Okay.
So
folks,
there you go.
On that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for staying with us. This is CCT8 Wake Up Call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Around here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from around here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from around here.
Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. And I know we went all over the place. So where do we want to go now?
Well, I'm going to finish what I was saying about Jamie Raskin, about his bill that he's putting forward to create a body, a congressional body, so that they can go around the 25th Amendment requirement that the VP and the cabinet members invoke the 25th Amendment.
They want somebody else to be able to do it also.
Well, the language in the amendment says the VP and the cabinet or a body created by Congress.
Explain the 25th Amendment.
Oh, the 25th Amendment's where they declare that the president's unable to discharge his duties and they remove him from office.
Okay.
I just have to say this is BS, and it has no merit, and it's going to be a sideshow circle.
Well, of course. They just keep it up. You know, they just pour it on constantly, so that's all you ever hear.
This bill is supposed to create a 17-member commission to address the concerns regarding the president's ability to discharge his duties, and they focus on his physical and mental limitations. And if you remember, a couple weeks ago, he had a rash on his neck, and then he had a bruise on his hand. And so all of a sudden, he's going to Walter Reed once a week for all these mysterious. And it's just all crazy. They're just looking for something that they can hang their hat on. But these are the same people that never looked at Joe Biden as being incompetent.
Do the Democrats have a platform other than get rid of Trump?
No.
They do, but it's not what they focus on. There is absolutely a DNC platform.
There is, officially.
Yeah.
But that's not what we hear on the news. All we hear is Trump did it, it's wrong.
Yeah, I'm not denying that.
I know what their platform is.
Yeah.
Let in as many illegals as they can. The ones that are here, grant them citizenship and voting rights, and defund the police and ICE and all anybody that has anything to do with keeping the people safe. That's their platform. I mean, they don't come out and say it that way, but their actions, like on their effort to stop the voter bill, to require voter ID, why would anybody do that when 80-some-odd percent of the people in the country are in favor of it?
We talk about ID. You want to hear something really, really, really strange. I just applied for a Craven County, North Carolina library card, okay? I have to appear in person at the library within 90 days with proof of identity, or I can't get another library card for a year. It's for a library card.
What kind of proof of identity?
Photo ID.
Why couldn't you just show it right then?
Because I applied online.
So...
Now, so you have to prove who you are to get a library card.
To get a library card.
Well, in Massachusetts and in California, you need to show a photo ID to return recyclable cans.
Well, so they're more concerned. They're more concerned that I live in Craven County, that I check a book out of the library, that I didn't live in Beaufort County and checked a book out of the Craven County library. I have to prove where I live in Craven County to get a library book.
What if you live in Mexico, El Salvador, Honduras?
But here's why that is really interesting is I'm guessing, this is maybe stereotyping, most libraries are run by folks that are more progressive than conservative in general. I would believe that to be true.
And what's that got to do with your point?
The point is that they're doing exactly what they don't want to be done for voting. The point is, the people in the library probably are left-leaning, and they're good with the ID for the library card. They don't want the ID for voting.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Now, I want to go back to Alan mentioned defunding the police. There was an incident, I believe it was Boston, it was Massachusetts, I believe it was Boston, where they decided to send a social worker out to a crime scene instead of the police.
It was a domestic assault.
Yes. The social worker got attacked by a guy with a knife.
Actually, he had a sword.
And they had to bring in the police to deal with the situation. So, you know, sending in a social worker is not always the best idea.
And, you know, the thing about it, too, is that, again, getting back to what I said earlier about Trump does not get credit for a lot of his accomplishments. What he's done with reducing the crime rate in the whole country, not he by himself, but, of course, his Department of Justice and so on. But I think they said the murder rate was down at the lowest it's ever been since 1900s. It's gone down 20%. The number of overdose deaths has gone down 50% in D.C., now the crime rate is down 50% from what it was last year. And in Memphis, which used to have the highest murder rate in the country, that's dropped dramatically. So what he's doing is having all these positive effects. And the cities like Chicago, Philadelphia, New York City, all the ones that are controlled by the Democrats, the crime rate's still high and they just resist it. And the people keep voting for him.
Yeah, I'll just concur with that. I was listening to Clay and Buck as well.
I want to do this quote. H.L. Mencken said that democracy is the idea that the people know what they want and they deserve to get it good and hard.
The other part of that is part of the crime rate and the drug overdoses going down has to do with simply sealing the border. And deporting the illegals because
and blowing up drug boats.
Oh, that didn't. That was yeah. Now we have sharks on cocaine. I'm not sure that's good.
Well, I do think that as it relates to this, though, it was specifically law enforcement going into these big cities with high crime. I think that had the biggest. And because Kash Patel was on the show that was talking about it.
And I want to go back to what we were talking about last week with Congress and Congress being. Frankly, being little kitties, being polite, that they are not codifying the executive orders of Trump's policies that have allowed these things to happen. All of these good things that have happened will be gone it could be gone as soon as November if we lose House and Senate. But until we codify some of these executive orders, our Congress is not doing us any favors.
No.
You're right.
Absolutely it's the same thing they did, the Republicans did in his first term. They wouldn't pass any of his agenda because they weren't in support of Trump. They were just too lily-livered to say it out loud. And now, you know, John Thune, please.
They're just being petulant little children.
Well, they are working. I listened to Thune last night a little bit, but they are working on one or two reconciliation packages that would codify these things if it's through that process. But
do you think the SAVE Act has a chance?
Well, I think that was part of the discussion. SAVE Act was in there.
That last week, and you guys all jumped on me. I said it was going to be reconciliation.
I don't know if I jumped on you,
but... You did.
we were arguing about the definition of each reconciliation thing. Now I lost my place. But anyway.
But there are questions about reconciliation. There are questions about whether or not it can be used.
Well, reconciliation happens in many different forms, and I think that what we talked about last week was just... a misunderstanding of which type of reconciliation. It's not like the House and the Senate, like here in North Carolina. If we have a House bill and it goes to the Senate and the Senate changes it, that bill has to go back to the House. And then if they still don't agree, then there's another committee that happens and they have to reconcile the effect. And I think that the federal situation with the money and the Senate stuff is totally different than what we experienced in our state reconciliation. I think that was what our disagreement was about.
No, that's not what I was referring to, but that was then, this is now.
She's over it.
I don't like to lose.
Well, you would have lost that one because Kim just explained what I remember.
She explained the state. I was talking about the federal government.
Yeah, but we weren't.
Anyway.
And we don't hold grudges either.
Because I like being right, too. I'm just telling you.
I do.
Now, the real question is, when will the filibuster go away?
Do you want a lawyer to represent you that doesn't mind losing? What can I say?
I don't want to need a lawyer is my first position.
Yeah, that's your first position.
But it would, you know, it's amazing that 80% of Americans approve the idea of voter ID and the SAVE Act, and Congress can't get it passed. So the obvious question at that point becomes, who do they represent?
Let's go back with that again, Mary. Think again, too, about the fraud stuff. And we had the Somali stuff, and then we have the Nick Shirley, who's been going after all mm-hmm. of these places. And now they're trying to criminalize what his findings were. So here again, it goes exactly to what you're saying. Who are we protecting?
Well, I tell you, I think this fraud exposure is gaining ground. I was not so sure about it after Doge went away. It feels like it's gaining ground. And from listening to Patel, he seems to be letting us know that. So I think all these state fraud cases that are still federal money but in the different states, I think they're getting momentum.
Now, the question is the realization, just the publicization, whatever, of the fraud cases, not necessarily going into court, but just making them public, is that having any effect on the population? I mean, we're looking there. Oh, we want all the convictions. No, I just want to know what the heck is out there.
I want orange jumpsuits.
They said there's hundreds of cases in progress.
The people who have defrauded our government need to go to jail.
Yep.
And if they're here illegally, they need to go back to where they came from. And if they're here illegally, I think it used to be before we went crazy in the 50s and 60s, that if you were here and you were here from another country, if you immigrated from another country and you broke the law, you got sent back, didn't you? Didn't they deport people like...
Yeah, they would, yeah.
Yeah, like some of the Italian gang members, some of the mafia members, they sent them back to Sicily. Didn't they do that?
Right.
And why aren't but,
and
to
the
do
thing
my,
is, the Godfather, yes. Yeah,
it's not just the people who commit the fraud. We should go after the people who are not monitoring the money to keep the fraud from happening. These bureaucrats are not doing their job. Correct. They should be held accountable, in my opinion.
They're paid very highly. Folks, on that, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. We ask you to go out and visit them. And thank you again. Glenn, you wanted to take us back to
Blockades. And yesterday, or yesterday, day before, I lose track of time, but Trump got a blockade in place at 10 o'clock in the morning, something like that. And today, there was discussions about the blockade as it related to Iran, and that was the whole blockade process. It was not to keep all ships from being able to pass in and out of that waterway. It was to keep Iranian any Iranian goods from coming in and out, and everybody else was able to pass. But today it sounds like there was some confusion on that, and it said China's happy about the fact that some adjustments have been made, and I don't think there was any adjustments at all.
Well,
Iran gives a lot of oil to China, and they get it at a reduced price. But I understand China's happy, and that may be not because they're not, they might not be happy about losing the reduced price Iranian oil, but I think they're happy to get any out of that strait.
The strait
is open. And
that
could be some other people other than Iran. And a blockade means that every ship stopped, they check the paper, they board, they check the paperwork. No one gets through. They either get through or turned around, but it's not like they let some pass thinking that they got the right flag. Well, this is serious.
Well, it's interesting that the international sanctions were on Iranian oil, and it was going anyway. It was being sold anyway, and now we're putting a stop to that. But the other thing to watch here is the United Arab Emirates arrested the Iranian guard money changers. So the other Middle East countries are starting to turn against Iran after they rocketed them. I wonder why.
Well, you know, this started with this issue about our inability to actually allow ships to safely go through the Strait of Hormuz because that Iran still had the capability of putting in these mines that we could not be absolutely certain that we could control. Okay, that was part of it. So what did Trump do? Instead of caving into that, he made a brilliant chess move. And he turned it around and said, okay, we'll just stop everything going in and out of the Iranian ports. And it's not just focused on the Straits of Hormuz. It's the Iranian ports that are being impounded. And that's just being stopped. And it's like, I think that's costing, what I heard is it's costing Iran $450 million, day
yes.
that they're losing in revenue because they can't export or import anything. And that was a brilliant move, and I think that's what may turn the table, and maybe the negotiations will now get somewhere because now he's put down a real important move there.
I read an article today that was talking about that, and it said that when the delegation came back from Islamabad and with no resolution, that President Pashinyan, is that his name? Pesh something. He had a fit and was yelling at them, saying, "What are you doing? If we don't get this resolved, we're not going to have any money. We can't pay salaries. and if the oil pumping stops, it will degrade the pumps because the groundwater seeps in.
Yeah.
And it interferes with pumping the oil. So we've got a deadline based on two things. One, not to have to stop the oil pumps, and two, not to run out of money so that the whole country goes under.
And the other thing on top of that is the refineries themselves are their storages are going to be full within a week
right.
to 10 days.
Right.
So all their refineries will shut down. And I worked in a pulp and paper mill, chemical plants. You shut stuff down cold and you try to bring it back up, it is not pretty.
It's forever right. or forever to restart. Now, again, all of these deadlines are deadlines in Iran.
Right.
Not for anybody outside of Iran. They're
just
all
Iran.
Within Iran.
Right.
And, the key thing, I think, also for Trump not at this point is not just the Straits of Hormuz. It's getting that refined uranium that could be, if it's recovered, and then the Iranians recover it, it could very shortly be turned into a nuclear weapon. And that, I think, is going to be a critical aspect of this. Are we going to get Iran to turn it over? It's underground now, from what I understand. It was bombed. It's hidden
buried.
Is Iran going to dig it up and turn it over? Or are we going to have to go in and
take it?
And I don't know, whether that's feasible or not. But I think that pressure about shutting down their ports is going to really be the one. That's going to be the winning move.
Russia volunteered.
The Trump card, if you don't mind me saying.
Russia volunteered to take the uranium from Iran.
Yeah, they did.
That's big of them. I wanted to say that with this blockade, the economy is going to be affected all the way down to the civilian area mm-hmm. because there's not going to be the food and all that stuff that they would normally be importing. So this might be the impetus for the actual people again to rise up.
Now, my question on this, if you look at the map, is there a country around Iran that would be supplying it with weapons? Because it's going to run out. How would you get weapons to them? And how would that work?
How would you get weapons to them, and how would they pay for their weapons?
They have to come in a port. Yeah.
And then on top of that, Trump is going to put a 50% tariff on anybody he figures out's doing that, whether it's China mm-hmm. or Russia, and that's going to be immediate. So if he finds it.
Well, Trump made some comments today about his forthcoming meeting with China, and he asked Xi if they were shipping weapons to Iran, and he said, no, we're not, and we're not going to be. So Trump said he was going to get a big fat hug from President Xi when he got to China next month.
And hopefully we can believe him.
That's the
never
other part.
Never believe a commie. Well,
I know. That's my point. That's the reason why I said it.
But it's mutually beneficial.
But that's where Iran has totally alienated itself as part of the world community because of its actions. Dropping bombs on their Middle Eastern neighbors that were supposed to be their allies was not a smart move.
Yeah, they already weren't their allies. They were our allies before Trump started the war. Trump, they say he doesn't have a plan. He's just making this up as he goes along. No, he's not. He worked on the Abraham Accords. When he first came into office, he went to the Middle East. He made deals with all those companies or states. And so Iran was already isolated when he decided to go in there and attack them. That issue that issue about whether or not they were still allies, no, they weren't. In fact, Saudi Arabia is pushing Trump to finish this and make sure that Iran
is crunched. What's interesting, too, is when you go back to the Obama administration, his plan was to elevate Iran to be a major player in the Middle East. I mean, he sent the money, he did whatever. Trump's plan is to isolate them. Which one is going to work better?
You know, question, I think, was it UAE or was it Saudi Arabia that's going to make going to put in a pipeline all the way to Israel?
Yeah.
So that we don't have to worry about the Straits of Hormuz again.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia, I think, is
yeah.
And that sounds like a good idea, but in war, if that pipeline is something that I think is not good for my position in war, it's pretty easy to bomb
a
pipeline.
multiple channels so that we're no longer reliant on that one strait.
I agree. It is a good thing.
I mean, Europe gets its oil from Russia.
Right.
No, Europe only uses windmills and solar panels.
But seriously, there is a pipeline going from Russia to Europe, and Russia has used that as leverage on numerous occasions.
And they're talking about putting more pipelines.
I think that this, what's going on now with Iran and how Trump is dealing with these countries, like you said, Mary, in the Middle East, the Abraham Accords and so on, and what's happening with NATO's failure to support the United States, not that we needed them, I think it's going to result in a completely restructuring of the post-World War II system we've had, which is basically NATO has been the process by which we have continued with the remnants of World War II. We were defending Europe from Russia. That's basically what we've been doing. And when we ask for their support, they don't give it. And I think it's going to be a restructuring. I think if Trump has his way, that the alliance with NATO could really get changed around, and Europe's going to have to defend themselves.
2 points. One, the France is talking to the NATO allies that are not our allies, trying to get them together to make an alliance to go around, cut the U.S. out. They're inviting China to come in. And so they have their own agreement to get around whatever it is the U.S. is asking for. So we'll see how that goes. And number two, yesterday at the Pentagon, Pete Hegseth presided over a signing of a treaty with Indonesia, which gives us a chokehold over the Malacca Strait, which is also a place that China depends on for oil.
There were some other things going on there. There was some new committees put together that were kind of humanity committees in the NATO that Iran was given a seat at the table as well.
That's the UN. UN.
Okay, sorry. UN. Still just as important. And I did screw that up.
Yeah, they were going to be part of the women's rights group.
Yeah, so sorry about that, but I'm still glad I interjected it, that they are given a seat at the table. And that's just, that's
bonkers.
We got to get out of that. We just got to.
We'll help them pack.
Yes. Please leave New York. We'll help you pack.
Give us your forwarding address. Folks, on that, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters.
Alan,
thank you for staying with us and listening to us and visiting our sponsors.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam full of firearms, new guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't didn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, E70 Pawn will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than E70 Pawn. Of course, E70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. E70 Pawn, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Alan, you wanted to take us to New York City.
Yeah, a more a local, not local to us, but a country-wide or something that affects this country more directly. I want to talk about what's going on with Mayor Mom Donnie in New York City. Obviously, he is the first committed socialist communist admitted as mayor of New York City. And he announced last week a sweeping program, not clearly defined, but focused on what he wants to do is he wants to correct the historical disparity between whites and people of color in New York City. And this is in income, housing, medical services, you name it. This is going to get covered with this program. And the whole program is to basically assumes that whites have been unfair in some disparaging or unlawful way, and that therefore they've created this disparity. So what we need to do is we need to increase the taxes and somehow penalize white people because blacks and people of color in New York City are not living at the same standard. If that is not the most communist thing that you can think of, I don't know what else would be, because the essence of Marxism is everybody gets equal. They are treated, not just treated equally, but everybody gets the same outcome. Everybody gets the same income, they get the same automobiles, the same housing, and that's where this is heading. And it's such a general thing that there's no way that it's going to be restricted. And Glenn, I think you wanted to mention something about about specific issues about his program.
I wanted to add one quick thing. Knowing some folks in the New York area, there's a proposed 9% property tax increase in New York. Let's try to do that here. Yeah.
Is that for everybody?
I believe it's for everybody.
Okay, not just white people.
I think it's. I don't know. Yeah. How is that house for white people get taxed and others don't?
Well,
I
think probably because maybe. I think there's probably a racist view in that, but it's probably because more white people own the property, so it'll be biased towards them. I don't know if that's factual.
No,
but
I agree.
I will say that, you know, Mamdani everything that he's doing is a light version of what he had committed to. This government grocery store, he had $70 million, I think, budgeted for it. He's going to have $30 or $40 million in just opening up the store, let alone trying to sort through operating things. And it's not going to be free. It's going to be reduced prices. So, I mean, he's not going to execute anything at a level he talked about, I don't think.
And it's reduced prices on staple goods only.
Right. So it's not on everything.
Oh, okay.
And the way they're going to do the reduction is that the state grocery store doesn't have to pay taxes and New York taxes and something else, which gives them an unfair advantage about on the private grocery stores, which have to pay that stuff.
So how long are the private grocery stores going to be able to stay in business with that kind of competition?
Well, based on the experience Kansas City had with their state grocery store, it won't be open that long.
Well, you know, again, we had Russians living in the house, and when they were in Russia and they went to the grocery store, you only got the goods for the people that showed up in the store. You couldn't bring extras home for your family. Kim?
I want to bring education into this, because when we're talking about, say, New York City, and I know that they're organized differently than we are with boroughs and how their public school system is. They have numbers instead of county like we do. But they, when we're talking about intellectual data, the demographics play a role and culture plays a role. It's, and in my mind, it's more than race. It's almost like some of these politicians are saying, because you're a person of color, you're not as smart as the white person. I take offense to that. I think that there's some cultures that value education and some that don't. There's some kids of color who want to learn. There's some kids that are white or brown that don't want to learn. We have truancy here in Craven County, and it's not all white kids or black kids or brown kids. So I think culture plays a big part in this, and we need to look at the intellectual output of people, not just the race of the people.
Marxism and socialism are based on class conflicts, but the Democrats have conflated class with race. So that's why you see these race arguments.
I'm saying that if my intellectual output is the maximum it can be, it doesn't matter what color I am.
Well, that's a given.
But that's the way it should be. That's what Martin Luther King said. Everybody should be judged by their accomplishment, not by their race. But, of course, like Pat just said, the Marxists in this country are moving it into, instead of a class struggle, it's now become a racial struggle where the whites are not allowing, and that's exactly what Mondani's doing in that program. But the scary thing about it is when George Washington gave, I think it was one of his inaugural addresses, or maybe when he was leaving office, and he said that what the most important thing in your education of people in this country is that the youth learn about the importance of freedom and a free economic system and a representative republic. He said that was critical to our survival. There was a recent survey that showed that in the average high school student cannot differentiate between a representative republic and a pure democracy, and that 62% of the people from 18 to 29 years of age, they think 62% think socialism is a good idea. So we're losing the education battle.
I agree. But my point with this statement from Mondami about going to this specific area in New York, saying that they've been underrepresented and held down and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
He's basically telling these people, because you're black, you're too stupid to get educated, to get out of that neighborhood or that economic pile that you're in.
He's not telling them they're too stupid. He's saying that the whites are preventing you.
No, so that's what he's saying. He stereotyped everybody.
Mm-hmm. But if you go to public school, you have the same book that I have. It doesn't matter it, because of how structured the education system has come. I'm saying when you go into school, it doesn't matter what color you are. The opportunity is the same. It's what you choose to do with that opportunity that's different.
Well, that's what you would like to believe, but that's not what they're telling these students. They're telling the minorities that they are being held back by the whites.
Even if it's
they're not
true.
Saying that you know you should study harder and all this kind of stuff, which is the reality of it. That's really why they're not succeeding as much.
And I think that's why the opportunity scholarships have become so popular here in North Carolina. It was because those kids could have an opportunity to go to a Christian school or a private school if their parent decided that they weren't getting an adequate education at the school that they were
Correct.
Assigned to. But that's kind of what I'm pointing to, is that the people have a responsibility to pull themselves up by the bootstraps, so to speak, and not sit back. When I look at our lives, Glenn grew up on a farm. His parents were divorced. He had no opportunity given to him on a silver platter. No one paid for his college. No one helped him, or even to the matter of encouraging him to go to college. And I'm just saying, if anybody pulled their bootstraps up and said, I don't want to live like this, it was my husband. And I don't understand why somebody would accept, I can't do that, because my first question would be why. I hear what you're saying, that they're being told that the white people's holding them down. I'd say, why? Or show me. Or no, they're not.
But do we stereotype folks from Durham or Chapel Hill differently than we do some in the coastal communities? And do we stereotype them? The farming folks, the ones in out in the western portion of the state, we do stereotyping.
You mean rural and urban? Farmers and the business people.
Yeah, rural and urban. We do stereotype. But again, anybody has the ability to get out.
That's the culture, the demographics of where they live. It's not gauging their intellectual ability.
Agreed.
My statement is that your color does not dictate whether you're smart or not.
You are, as you often do, ignoring human nature. Because people who are given an excuse for why they don't excel are happy to use the excuse.
So you're saying they're lazy?
Yes.
That's a true statement, yeah.
To blame other people instead of accepting responsibility yourself. And that's the essence of our country, has always been individuality and accepting responsibility for your own behavior. And that's exactly what the socialists are opposed to. They're saying if you're not successful, it's not your fault.
No.
It's somebody else's fault.
Yep.
And we should look for reparations from somebody else that has the money.
They owe it back, that they pay you back for the disparity that you're experiencing.
You know, Baltimore has a slush fund now of $35 million for reparations, but they haven't paid any of it out because in the background, different departments and people are vying to control those funds. So they haven't been able to give any out.
But the funds will get all consumed in administration.
Who knows? I just think it's funny.
Well, you could clearly argue that our fight against socialism and communism from the 40s on, after World War II, that we were successful up through when Reagan, when the destruction of the Soviet Union, that was a success. And we thought we were finished with fighting the communists. But they have infiltrated our education system, and they are turning our youth into people who believe that socialism is the way to go. That's what this survey I just quoted shows. 62% of people from 18 to 26 believe socialism is a good idea.
Ask them to define socialism, though. They can't do it. They don't know what it is that they're in favor of.
But we're letting the cat out of the bag.
I'm trying to pick the right word about the human nature deal, but I think human nature, pride is a bad word to be used, because pride usually is a negative trait because it's about yourself. But just the fact of feeling good about, being successful.
Yeah.
I think that's more human nature than being sorry. I don't think everybody takes that path of it's easy, so therefore I'm going to go there, even though the end game is very bad.
But pride in your success requires hard work.
That's right.
Which blaming somebody else does not require hard work.
That's right.
Sitting in your butt on welfare and blaming the white man for your lack of success in life is something that we can observe all over.
And it's miserable.
And again, Margaret Thatcher put it best when she said, socialism works until you run out of other people's money.
True.
Folks, on that, we've got to stop. I mean, we thank you for listening to CCTA Wake Up Call.